Y'all like family reunions, honestly? You like going to them? It's a lot of fun. You get to meet cousins that are just way out there. That'll just make you laugh all day long. And it's like, man, I need to connect with them a lot more. Then there's other ones you want to stay away from for to the next family reunion. It's all good. One of the things that's kind of been on my heart as just when I'm relating things and stuff, because I want to make sure I'm clear on a few things. One of them is, it's like when I talk about being competitive, and I mention that word, what, in it? Petty. See, to me, I see competitiveness and I see domination. I want us dominating, not competing, as a body of Christ. Because the example that Jesus gave us is that he dominated. Religious leaders couldn't stop him. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. That's domination. Now, we don't dominate one another. We dominate the kingdom of darkness. We keep it under our feet because we walk in the authority that God has given us. So when I talk about competitive, I see people being competitive and they're being petty and they're going at each other. And this is how you'll know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. They're trying to do more tear down than building up. In the kingdom of God, you do more building up. There's not a lot of tear down. But when you're being competitive or petty, you end up tearing people down. So let's just say, if you were to run a race, a 100-yard dash, since some of y'all like track and stuff like that, I know who I'm going with. Usain Bolt. He's the fastest. He ain't an American. I don't give a rip. He's the fastest I know. If I go with him, he's going to beat them all. Every Olympic sprinter that ever sprinted. Everyone else will be competing for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. He'll be dominating the field. And we got too many believers that are wanting to be second, third, fourth, fifth. Come on. God wants us to be dominating. And by domination is walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So when we have our blended families, we want to raise our blended families up in total domination to what the Word of God says. Train them up in the way they should go, not in the way you want them to go. People will raise them up in the way they want them to go. They end up being petty. In the way they should go, domination. You won't have to worry about the next person. Well, look at what they're doing. You need to do it better than them. Just do it. Just do it. You got the book of Matthew. If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. I just believe that you will speak through me. You will speak to the hearts here, Lord, and it will come out bold in the name of Jesus, unhindered, untouched. And Father God, we just thank you that no outside force will be able to come against. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 18. Verse 21, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. Now, some of the Jewish rabbis in those days taught that forgiveness should be forgiven about three times. The three strike rule, basically, and you're done. Now, don't raise your hand. How many of you done that? Three strikes and you're out, man. You're out of my life. Peter thought he was being a little more generous, and he says up to seven times. Check out his answer. Jesus says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents is basically, it's like 160,000 years worth of wages. It was unpayable. But as he was not able to pay his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. He knew he couldn't pay it. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Thank God for a forgiving God. But that servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That servant sometimes is us. It's basically us, because Jesus forgave a huge debt in our lives, and then we have the audacity to hold somebody to the little thing that they may do to us. And sometimes even family members. They may do something, I'm done, I'm writing them off. I'm not even going to talk to them. But yet God forgave you of a huge debt. Jesus died for your sin, died for theirs as well. And we can't even forgive? Forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. You end up being tormented by the enemy because you make the choices of holding on to what your family has done to you. I'm letting you know right now, whatever your family has done, it's not worth holding on to. I've done that before. Not good. Just eats at you. Over and over and over again. Till you want to do something about it physically. But it doesn't just stop at you. It affects your children and your whole household. Your wife. You don't have a good relationship with her. You may not have a good relationship with your husband because you can't forgive a debt that your sister or your brother or your uncle may have done to you. The debt that was supposed to be paid is forgiveness, not the money. Forgiveness chooses to set the prisoner free, but as you grow wiser, you learn that the prisoner you set free was really yourself. So as this torment is going on, on the debt that the servant had to pay back was forgiveness. It says in Matthew 18:33, should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? You're going to have problems. Jesus says, while you're in this world, you will have struggles. You will have tribulations. You're going to have these things. It's going to arrive. Plan for it. Prepare for it right now. It's coming. Here comes trouble. It's coming. That shouldn't surprise you. But he says not to fear. See, he's on our side. We know we serve a big God. He is on our side, and he is for us, not against us. Forgiveness does not mean to allow yourself to be a doormat for people. They don't just get to walk all over you. Well, they did it once. Well, some people will try to play God. They'll try to play the devil. They'll try to play the tormentor in every which way. And then say, you have to forgive me. And then when you do, they'll try to do it all over again to you. That's when you set up some boundaries in your life. They don't have the right to do that. And I'm telling you, you will have so many manipulators. Listen, they will try to go to great lengths and have other people tell you to talk to them, to get back with them, to do, because they want to just do it all over again. See, there's something going on right here with them. Their head ain't right. When somebody just continually want to abuse you, abuse you, abuse you, abuse you, abuse you over and over and over and over and over again, there's something ain't right with them. They need Jesus. They need help. But listen, it is not your place to be a doormat for anyone. You got the power of God operating on the inside of you. Use your authority. You can righteously oppose that stuff. And if for a season, doesn't mean you're walking in the fence. They'll try to make it out to be everything. No, no, no. It's just a boundary. God will never quit on you. And when you're going through all that messed up junk, see, if all you ever see is your pain and hurt, it's going to be hard to locate God in your life. If you're just looking at your pain, if you're looking at your trouble, if you're looking at your storm. I like using you two. Can I use you two again? Richard and Joe. Charles, can you come on up, please? Can I use you as an example? You know, you can say no. I'm going to just get you later. No, I'm just playing. No, you're a good man. You're a good man. Now, you're going to represent God, okay?
Okay.
Joe, you got a relationship with God, right? Okay. And God said he'll never leave you, never forsake you. And this young man right here represents our pain.
Oh.
Your pain. Your pain. Your hurt. So you come on over and stand right in front of Joe. And everywhere Joe moves and walks,
okay,
God is walking with him. But the thing is, he can't see God because he's keeping his pain right in front of him.
Oh.
So, come on. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, this people are saying all these things about me and everything else. And, you know, and he did this to me. They hurt me. They tore me up. They said these things about me in every which way. God hasn't left this side. Neither has that pain. That pain is going with him everywhere he goes. And the more and more he talks about his pain, the bigger it gets. Now, we don't have anyone in here bigger than, well, I guess Doug is pretty big, too. But the more and more he keeps talking about his troubles, his trials, his struggles, every single time, they just become bigger and God becomes smaller. But if you keep God in the forefront, see, you can just stay right there. Well, actually, you come here. He becomes God. And in your pain, when you focus on him, this is out of the way. You become more focused with him, with your relationship, because of the fact is you're making God bigger in your life. And sometimes we end up, thank you. Give him a hand. And sometimes we end up talking more and more about our trials, our tribulations, our pain, our struggles, and it becomes so much bigger we can't even locate God in that. And then we ask the question, Lord, where are you? He's always been there. He said, Lord, I'll never leave you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, I will never quit on you. He will never quit on us, regardless of what we've done. Last week we talked about not judging. Everybody goes through something. And sometimes it's hard not to judge. I shared this on a Wednesday night. There was a young man. This is a well-renowned pastor. And there was a young man that was just, you know, that I guess he was on his staff or what have you. He could have been an intern. But the pastor was standing there just looking at him like, just thinking to himself, this kid is weird. What is wrong with him? I mean, he don't want to listen to no one. This is just going in his mind. He's not saying it out loud. And so this young man comes up to him and says, I know you might think that I don't submit to leadership, but I just want to tell you, my mom has been married 11 times, and I've been molested by several of those men. So I have a hard time trusting men. And then the pastor thought to himself, he goes, I knew right there that I was not qualified to judge anyone. And he goes, it is amazing that he is halfway normal. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know the pain they're going through. Hurt people will do what? So when they're constantly trying to hurt others, even though it's hard to see, we got to look past that and ask them what's going on. Why do you feel you need to trash me? Why do you feel the need to sow up strife all up in my life? What's the problem? What's going on? Because I guarantee you they're dealing with some stuff that happened years ago that they never really allowed Jesus, the blood of Jesus, to just to wash that away. And they've been carrying it over year after year. Sometimes it's hard because, again, y'all know what I want to do. Sometimes. And I'm not talking about any particular. I'm just saying it's like I had that thought, but I've never acted on it. When I got to the place to where I could have acted on it, there was actually somebody who actually got in my face because they had been drinking on the job, before the job, in every which way, causing all sorts of disturbance. I felt the peace of God come all over me. And I just smiled at him, told me, you're done. You can leave now. You come back Monday. And everybody was like, man, I thought you was going to knock him out. I said, I wanted to. I said, if that peace didn't come over me, I would have been at Hayes' finest right now. But you have to forgive. The root word to forgive actually means to send away, to dismiss. So when you do forgive someone, you are abandoning blame as a way of life and you are choosing to say, case dismissed. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness. Don't keep some of it for yourself. Rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Build up, not tear down. We build up. If you want to have a successful blended family, you have to build your family up rather than tear them down. And that's for everybody. When you're facing difficult situations, your aim should not be manipulation. Manipulation will only get you what you want to have. Walking by faith, living by faith, talking by faith in Jesus will get you what Jesus wants for you to have. And his ways are always going to be better than ours. He gives us the best of the best. That's why he's saying, the works that I do, shall you do also. When you do works like me, you're going to dominate. When you do works like the Pharisees and religious leaders, you're going to be competing, you're going to be petty, you're going to be second rate. We dominate. And love has got to be that driving force. But that's just the way I am, Pastor Tim. I got to stir up some trouble. Sometimes I get bored. I got to stir up some conflict. I said, no, this is good. I said, stir up the devil. Because you can mess with him all day long. Like I talked before. I said, go around just saying Jesus. The devil trembles at the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. They start, what's going on? Oh, Jesus, you're so awesome. Yeah, people freaking out. What is going on? Revival. So if you have family members that are suffering because of your dysfunction or because you're stirring up trouble in their life, realize Jesus not only carried their pain, but yours too. Hurting people will hurt people. So we have to look past the stuff, their actions and everything else, and get down to the root of the problem. Why are you hurting? And I'm going to let you know, everything's forgivable with God. There's nothing that you don't understand what I've done. I said, go get in line. Paul said that he was the chief sinner. He persecuted the church just for believing in Jesus. You couldn't have done any worse. So stop beating yourself up. You don't have to. You don't have to beat yourself up. God's a loving God. Pain is temporary. Character is permanent. You are his workmanship, his children, his adopted sons and daughters. Galatians 4:6 says this, and because we are children, are his children, God has sent the spirit of his sons into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Romans 8 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. When you walk according to the Spirit, you are proving that you are a child of God. Adopted children in Paul's time received rights of adulthood right away. Those rights were basically, they had the right to intimacy with God right away. So in some blended families, there are dads who take on a role. They become their stepdads. There, and I'm telling you what, there's just something about somebody else taking on someone else's seed, somebody else's child, because they failed their responsibility, and another man comes in and becomes a dad to them. That is awesome to see. We need more men like that, more godly men, because now they gave that young man a future and a hope, or that young lady. She don't have to wonder whether or not who's going to be walking her down the aisle, because stepdad is going to step in, that young man is going to step in, or that young lady is going to step in to be that mother for that child. And if you've done that, I congratulate you. That is awesome. One of the things I love to say, seed, time, harvest. Pastor Tim, it might be too late for my kids. No, it's not. It's never. Never too late. They're at the house? No. It doesn't matter. Call them up for lunch. Take them out to eat. Continue to sow. And continue to water that seed with the Word of God. And you're going to see a harvest. You're going to start seeing change in them. It's never, ever too late. Remember, Moses was 80 when he started his stuff. So it wasn't like he wasn't living right all the time. He wasn't. But God used him in a mighty way. Did some unbelievable miracles through him. At the age of 80 to 120. You serve the same God. Some of y'all, well, I might be too old. No, you're not. You're just getting started. Just how you look at it. I'll be watching videos. I'm seeing 80-year-old men, 90-year-old running 100-yard dash. I was like, you go ahead, man. That's awesome. You're not trailing behind your wife like, you know, just, I mean, they're out there running. Chris and always make fun of me. That's going to be, no, that's not going to be me. I'll be getting my, I'll be strutting, man. I'm going to be strutting every step I get. Shoot, I get better, like fine wine. God can turn any situation around, so you don't give up. Don't give up on your family. But you have to forgive. That's got to be a nucleus. I mean, that's got to be something that is foundational when it comes to those blended families, because everyone is going to be bringing in their garbage, their trash. Okay, what is it today? Who's taking out the trash today? Forgive. I had to forgive my wife yesterday. kind of under my breath. Been putting up some trim. We had done the flooring and stuff and started doing the trim. And of course when I get tired, I start breathing louder and stuff. And so she goes, why don't you just shut it down and stuff? All right. Start doing it. And then she tells me to shut it down. And she's sitting in her massage chair. And then she goes, well, that's off right there. So I look at it and I said, yeah, it was bugging me. It was just off just like an eighth. And I was like, yeah, okay, you got me on that one. I'm going to have to forgive on that one. Because I was like, why did you mention that? Now I'm going to tear all this up just to fix that one little piece right there. I'm going to have to go back and fix it. But I forgive you. I think she just does that just to do it. Keeps me on my toes. But you can have fun with that. And I'm telling you, in a godly way. Some people think that you come to church, you're doing life, ministry, what have you, you're Christian, you got to be boring. You don't have to be boring. How long have you been playing softball, sir? 69. That's longer than I've been living. You have fun when you do that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. You meet a lot of people? Have you ever shared your faith with a few? Come on. We didn't rehearse that. God can do some extraordinary things because everyone was created to impact other people's lives. And so you can have a nucleus of family, a blended family, and they're saying, well, we're going to do this. This is how we got this family business set up, but yet God may have called you to be a teacher. Now that's going to be something that's going to come against the family. Well, no, you're supposed to be going to school so you can get accounting, so we can get this done, the bookkeeping and everything else for the business. And God called me to be a teacher. You know, that's going to ruffle some feathers there. And I'm not talking about any one situation because I don't know. But you got to have the boldness to step out and do that. And hopefully your family will forgive you. But when you're called to do something, you got to do it. Either you're going to trust God or you're going to trust man. And scripture says, curses any man who put their trust in man. I put my trust in God. I know I'm doing what he has called me to do. When we were doing all this transition and stuff, I had a friend that would call me up and ask me just because he wanted to help because he already had been through it. And if we had any questions, I mean, he was there to answer some. And I was like, man, honestly, I've been out of God's will for so long in my life. I'm finally in it. I'm not trying to rush anything. He goes, all right, if you have any questions, let me know. I said, all right. But I know I'm doing what God has called me to do. But I'm not going to allow anybody to put a limitation on me. Well, you're called to be a pastor. And that's it. You can't do anything else. You're called to do this, that one thing. Y'all ever hear me saying there's something bubbling on the inside of me? I don't know what it is. Those are several things that God is going to have me do. Don't know what it is yet. But it ain't going to be limited to just being a pastor. So if I listen to other people, see if I use this word right, they'll cap me. Is that right? They'll put a limitation on me. I still got to work on that. This young lingo slang and stuff like that. Huh? It's wrong. It was wrong. Okay. They'll put a limitation on me. I'm not going to allow anybody to put a limitation on me. Don't allow your family to put a limitation on you because they'll do it because they believe they know better. When you know you're called to do something, you go ahead and do it. Somebody once said, you know, you do it now and then ask for forgiveness later. But if the Lord is leading you to do it, you do it. Amen. Blended families. That's important to God. And people think you're second rate because you're in a blended family. No, you're not. God can sanctify that marriage. just as he does the first one. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He doesn't care about your history. That's exactly what it is, history. But what about her story? No, I'm not going to get into that. He's so good. So merciful. Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you. If there's anyone here who's dealing with forgiveness, they're having a hard time forgiving their anyone in their family, their friends, what have you, their job, coworkers, and you're having a hard time doing that, just raise your hand real quick and let's get that out of the way. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Just repeat this with me. Everybody can say it together to kind of help those that are struggling. It's going to be very simple. Heavenly Father, I forgive the ones who hurt me. I give it to you. It is no longer mine to carry. Thank you for healing me and setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you. We thank you for thank you. If you got any stories out there about forgiveness or what have you, please send it to me. Send it to Westview Church. We love to hear it. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.